Hello? Hello? Can you hear me?
I can, mate.
Yeah, you all right. Hello, how are you?
I'm good, mate. Yourself?
Not too bad. Right, so as you can hear, got another guest. I've got Ash Griffiths, who's a pro MMA fighter. He's fighting on the Bellator 200 card against Aaron Chalmers. How's it going? How's training been going?
Awesome, mate. I couldn't be in a better place. I've just finished my second session of the day.
Yeah, just as I was writing the questions for you, I seen a bit of back and forth between you on Twitter.
Yeah, it seems to it's kicked off a bit. To be honest, I've never used Twitter. I've always had it, but I've never bothered to use it until today.
I haven't had a chance to listen to the podcast yet, but I presume it was something that a podcast that you've both done or an interview with the same person. For the people who haven't listened to it, like myself or anything like that, can you elaborate a bit more on what it was about?
Yeah, basically, he's just shouted he's going to put me to sleep. And he didn't like the fact that I turned down, said the only way he put me to sleep was with his shit crack. So, facts are facts. At the end of the day, this kid ain't putting me to sleep.
Yeah, and obviously, it's good for both of you and the promotion, obviously, boosting the fight, the hype, people watching it, people getting involved on social media and stuff like that. In the end, it all benefits the promotion and what you guys are doing.
Of course. Yeah, definitely. Like I said, I don't know. To be fair, I've 104 fights I've had through all forms of different martial arts, and I never get involved in this. Never. And I'm sick of seeing things. I'm sick of seeing fanboys. He's social media following bitches. Like the ones that are sitting like, I don't mind. I'm not just griefing everyone, but the ones who are griefing me who don't know me, haven't got a clue about MMA. I'm starting to get pissed off about it now. And pissing me off is just going to make me train harder.
Yeah, it's one of the things I was going to ask you. It's a bit of a long question. It's a bit explained, obviously. What's your take on where he is and how he got there? Because basically, obviously, people take different paths. People, other fighters, they train hard. They work for years and years and years to get onto a main card. And I've spoke to a lot of people, obviously. I'm kind of in the media journalist sort of category on this with doing the podcast.
Yeah.
And in the middle of it, I'm not one side or I'm not the other. I've got my own opinion on this anyway. But a couple of...
Yeah, of course, everyone's entitled to their opinion. A lot of people think he's going to win. So a lot of people think I'm going to win. My biggest battle, mate, is myself, right? And I haven't, honestly, my last three fights, me whatever, I haven't taken it seriously, you know, and I've fucked the training off. I've found every excuse I can to not train. And I've ended up going into these fights massively out of shape. Massively, with no fitness at all, and I've made a fool of myself, and it was because I was going to just call it off until this call came. I've had 12 weeks straight to fight this. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I deserve to be on a Bellator card because I don't, right? I've done my apprenticeship with MMA. I've had all the fights where I've scraped by and got nothing. I've literally spent all my money on getting to and from training to make pennies. Right, and I've put all that effort in. So it annoys me to see him just all of a sudden walk onto a show like Bammer and then brag about being the highest paid fighter. Like, that's just disrespectful to the lads who train hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To the lads who haven't.
This is what I was kind of getting to. Do you think, obviously, you've got your own take on how he got there, but obviously, like I said, people have worked for years and not actually got onto a main card. I've spoke to a few of the guys. I spoke to Tom Mearns and Kent Kalpinen, who are both on the prelims. And they had, obviously, they've had their own opinion of it. They see both sides of it. Obviously, Bellator see the popularity, everything like that is fan base, which for their side of things is massive, because it's going to get people watching. It's going to get money in. It's going to get asses in the seats. It's going to get fans watching on telly. But then obviously you can see it from the...
Like I said in my interviews, he's a promoter's wet dream. You know what I mean? If I was a promoter and I got the chance to get him on based on his following, I'd have him on. I've got no issue with what he's doing and where he's getting because of it, because I understand, right, that he'll sell 10,000-15,000 tickets alone himself. I get that. I fully understand that and I fully appreciate that. However, I just think I don't know. I think to be saying he's going to put me to sleep, I've been handpicked for this fight, let's be honest, because I've come off the back of three losses. Who has he fought? I know one lad, and I'm not being disrespectful, because he trains at Danny Mitchell's gym. Danny Mitchell is shit hot. The majority of his lads are shit hot. But in all fairness to this kid, his record was very, very minus. You know,
yeah,
if that makes sense.
Two of the guys he's I'm getting was their debut, and one of them was 0-1.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? So, like, and yeah, that's their pro debuts, but their amateur debut, the amateur records were minus. Yeah. You know what I mean? They were negative numbers, the amateur records, and they've gone pro. And you see, it hasn't paid off for them. But like the likes of that Carl Donaldson, my question is, I seen him, that he threw a left hook and he rocked Chalmers, and you could see he rocked Chalmers. Everyone could see he rocked Chalmers. Chalmers started stanky legging it, and then all of a sudden he backed off and he didn't push it. The stoppage was extremely quick. Like I say, mate, regardless of out there, he could shock me. Right? I could go in this cage in 2 weeks' time and think, fuck me, he's 10 times better than I thought he was. If I do at the end of the fight, if he wants to, I'll shake his hand, say, fair play, mate, I'm on the hype train now. But at this point in time, I'm here to derail the hype
obviously
train.
That's what you're going in there to do. But like you said, about the amateur records, obviously, when you fight someone, I've spoke to a lot of guys, I've spoke to a lot of amateur guys as well. When you fight someone that's making their pro debut, obviously you do have a look back at what their amateur records are like. Some people don't take the amateurs too much. Obviously, they use it to build on experience. Yeah. But obviously, when you're fighting guys that are debuts, and so are you debut, it's kind of what you have to do to try and get a sort of background of what the person is. Obviously, you try and YouTube it, you troll social media and stuff like that, because you have to have some sort of little inkling. But obviously he's gone straight in at the pros, so and
yeah, like I said, listen, respect to the bloke, right? He's in this sense, if he's fighting on the big stage straight away, he's dealt with it well, and he's dealt with it because of it, obviously his fame and fortune that came from whatever the fuck you want to call Geordie Shaw. It's basically load them up, it's jumping about, getting pissed, shagging each other, and then getting paid of absolute fortune for it. You know what I mean? I done that for fuck all when I was younger.
We all so, did.
You know what I mean? So he's made money from it. So you've got to have respect for him in that guy. But then, I know he's done a bit of Thai before. I know he's done that before, the whole Geordie Shaw thing. So, and I respected that. Like I say, if anything, when he first started, I was saying, yeah, fair play. Let's see what he's got. But I just don't think it's fair. And again, probably even with me, like, at least I've got wins, and I've fucked it off the last couple of fights, like I say. But in my background, like I say, I've won title after title in K1, in MMA, and all sorts, mate, in boxing. You know what I mean? And then I just don't think you can run about shouting you're the best future champ and all this if you're literally fighting nobody. You know what I mean? So listen, if he beats me, I'm back on the hype train, but he isn't beating me. I'm a different animal than my last couple of fights. I genuinely am.
Yeah, see, obviously everyone wants to go in there and see fights finished. I'm sort of the other side. I'd rather see two guys grind it out. Like,
mate, I want to go to war. I'm not bothered. I'm not even bothered about finishing the kid. I'm genuinely not. I've prepared for a war with him. If he can stand with me, if he can grapple with me, if he can just fight with me, battle with me for three rounds, fair play. That'll gain me respect. But that's what I'm prepared for. Like I say, and I've not been this way for a long time. You know what I mean? If he can do it, let's see. Let's see. I'll meet him in the middle of that cage in 2 weeks' time, and we'll see.
Yeah, well, again, no disrespect to Aaron. Obviously, he can only fight the people that are put in front of him. And obviously, he's been given this opportunity. No one in their right mind is going to turn around and say no.
No, of course not. Of course not. But then there's the cockiness and the arrogance. And I mean, I know I've probably said some things now in these interviews these last few days because it's grinding on me seeing what people have said who haven't got a clue. You know what I mean? Seeing these little comb over quiff wearing, I don't even know what they are, little fanboys. You know what I mean? They're calling us all sorts and they haven't got a clue. They've never seen out. I've put my print.
Yeah, so
I've done the hours and hours.
Like you said, he's made his money through anything else. And obviously I seen it on social media on Twitter that it was back and forth about money from you. It seems that I might be wrong here, but this is my opinion, that he seems to be doing the sport for the wrong reasons. Obviously, he's got the fan base there. He's got the career in the, obviously, the TV industry and stuff like that. It seems like he's just doing it for the money. because everything seems
money,
to,
yeah.
everything
that's my
seems
point.
to be
He's
about
armed
money.
up for the love
Like,
of the fighting.
you see, most people.
It's because he's cocky, he's arrogant. Because what he's done, mate, right, is he's took a 10-second night class on how to be Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather is what he's done. You know what I mean? He's got himself a top knot. He's even tattooing his arms black now. You know what I mean? Like, so he's done a 1-1 on how to be Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather rolled into one. I'm going to start calling him Floyd McGregor because, honestly, the lad is just an idiot. He's about the money. He has money. I have no doubt he has money. He's been handed money on a plate. So for him to turn around to me, what he's proposing, because let's be honest, we all probably know he's going to be getting paid about 10 times what I'm getting paid for this fight because of his ability to bring in fans. Fair play. What he's trying to say is he will give me double my fight purse, but I have to give him all mine, if that makes sense. So if I win, he will double my pay. But if he doubles my pay, he's still going to come out with probably about 30, 40 grand. That's without his ticket commission. So he's still making a fortune. It's easy to say that when you don't have to work for your money.
Yeah.
I've got kids to feed. You know what I mean? It's a different game. I would love nothing more than to go, right, I tell you what, mate, we'll put everything on the line and let's go. My manager turned around to him and said, right, so are you guys suggesting all your purse against all of Ash's purse? And they say, no, no, no. Only if you're saying you'll double Aaron's purse at the double Ash's purse. That's not what we were saying. It's easy to play poker and bully people when you're the chief
leader.
So do
you think he's, not towards you, but in general, do you think he's sort of at a benefit? Obviously, because, like you said, you've got kids to feed. I've spoke to a few pro guys that are still working full-time jobs to be able to pay for...
I don't work full-time, mate. I get up on one train.
Pro fighters having to go to work 40 hours a week to pay for their training and then find the energy and stuff like that to train. Do you think he's at a benefit, obviously, because he's got the backing of the money from previous endeavours where he can train full-time and he can pull these guys in and not have to worry about that? In a sense, he doesn't have to worry about sponsors either. He's just doing it for the extra money.
No, he doesn't. He can walk out and he can do whatever he wants because he doesn't have to get up. He has to go on to Geordie Shaw sometimes. He'll roll into the house. And I have watched Geordie Shaw, I'm not going to lie, because sometimes... And yeah, I've seen him walk in, go, right, I'm fighting, so I won't be on the series. See you later. So he goes off, and then that's it. And he probably gets paid a massive fee to be a good train. We don't have that luxury, unfortunately, all of us. That's what I'm talking. Some of us have had to grind it out. I mean, I've seen grief about my nose. My nose has been in some wars, mate. This kid's never been hit yet. You know what I mean? I'm gonna give him a nose worse than my nose, and you couldn't bend why the shape of my nose. So he wants to hope he's got all the money for
so
the plastic surgery after.
On a fighting basis, do you think it is a benefit for him, obviously, not having to worry about that as well? Because, obviously, like you said, he could just fall back. He's got other things he can fall back on where it's leisurely income, so to speak, whereas other people go out and have to work it. Yeah, he might be busy doing other stuff. He might have a busy schedule.
It is a benefit on the fact that he's got more time and he can give more time to it and he can afford the best of everything, the travel and everything. I do get that, but that doesn't give you heart, that. And like I said, the argument to that is, well, where's your heart been the last few fights, Ash? And it hasn't been there. I can say that. I've had no heart for it, but it's back now. And now I'm taking into that cage all the years of these sports, all the experience I've got from these sports, I'm taking all into the cage. What's he taking in? A few shots in the back end of 40,000 people. They're not fighting for him. You know what I mean? All the training in the world, iron does sharpen iron, but those lads aren't fighting for him. He has to get in there with that cage and fight me. The pressure's on him, not me. He has the pressure of all these people watching. I don't. People are expecting me to lose. I'm the underdog here.
Yeah, so obviously I've checked your previous results, and you've won by TKO and you've obviously lost by TKO and stuff. I've seen you love to bang, stand and bang, and you've got loads of experience. Like you said, you've got over 140
one fight at the end, I'm a stand.
Do you think that gives you the advantage, having that experience, and he's obviously only got three fights?
Of course, 100% experience. You can't buy experience, mate. Like I say, I'm my own worst enemy with fighting. I get in my own head and I take myself off my game. So by the time I go out there, sometimes I'm just not in it. I am not that animal anymore. I'm literally, he's backed me. I've been backing the comment, all these little comments and that now, and they've been niggling at me. But I've just thought, you know what? This guy's had so much smoke blow up his ass. He's the golden boy. No one has bothered to get. I've pretty much only just found out my roster and things for what's happening. You know what I mean? But now, like, I don't know, I'm getting annoyed, so I can't even get my senses out. Maybe I sound like an idiot, but
yeah,
you know what, you know where I'm coming from. At the end of the day, I'm sick of him being the golden child. I feel like now, who are they to write me off? How, what right does he have to write me off?
In this sport, we know one punch is all it takes. So, in a sense, records and yeah, basically just your records when you go in there and it's just you v the other guy and you're just standing in front of each other in the cage, that goes out the window because you could have fought 10 of the top guys in the world, but one punch could change it all.
Exactly, mate. You know what I mean? We can all pad records, can't we? So we can I've fought some unbelievable fighters. I've beat some of them. I've lost against some of them. No excuses, you know what I mean? But when I fought, when I was being in the best shape of my life, I fought top guys. I fought all over the world. You know what I mean? I've travelled and done this shit. I'm just sick now. I'm sick of being ruled out already. It's just another stepping stone. Trust me, mate. I am not a stepping stone, and I intend to prove that with this fight. But I'm telling you now, when I beat him, and I will beat him, I want what he's getting lined up for. I want this baby slice fight that he's lined up for. Why shouldn't I take his place? If somebody's in line for a title shot, right, and they get beat, the loser doesn't fight for the title next. You know what I mean? That's not the way it works. I want to take
exactly,
what he's got.
And obviously, like you said, it's if he's getting offered this and he's getting offered that. See, I haven't looked into any of that. Obviously, trying to stay as neutral as possible. Trying to get the best.
Yeah.
Best podcast from everyone. I haven't actually had the time to speak to Aaron yet. I've spoke to his management team, funnily enough, to try and get him on the podcast and speak to him, obviously, about the card as well, because the card's massive. But I haven't...
Oh, the card's unbelievable, mate. I'm going to be in awe. I'm going to be sat in that changing room in awe of some of these fighters. The fighters on the undercard, mate, are unbelievable. They're some of the best in the UK. You know what I mean? It's like... Honestly, this card is stacked, mate. Honestly, and I'm over the moon that I'm going to be on it. I'm over the moon that I'm going to be just at this press conference and at these weigh-ins with these fighters. Like, that's an honour for me because I've grew up in this sport. Like I say, I grew up watching these fighters, loving these fighters,
yes.
Dragging my ass to the gym at silly o'clock in the morning so I can get there before I have to go to work. And some of the fighters I've grew up watching, Mirko Krokop, Roy Nelson, Muassi.
Yeah, it's
these guys are legends,
massive.
Man. Not, this will be the first time I won't be the fattest ginger on the card as well. Can I just say
I think
that?
Roy Nelson's going to top that one.
I mean, I don't know. I put some weight back on after winning, so we'll
I'll
see.
Give you a bit of advice. I wouldn't argue with him. He's got a hell of a right hand.
I've seen it, mate. But then again, my nose bends yeah. away, so he might just miss it.
Well, that was going to be my first question. How excited, obviously, are you with the card? Obviously, the main event, the co-main event. People like Michael Venom Page on the card, your fight. And like you said, the prelims. I mean, I've spoken, met Kent Kalpin, and I was at an academy event with him. And he's such a nice guy, such a down-to-earth guy. And he's like you. He said it doesn't matter, because he obviously had his opinion. He was both sides with the whole Aaron Chalmers thing. He said... Even though he's bringing these amount of fans in, he is slightly pissed off. Not pissed off. That's the wrong choice to word. I'm going to make heat here. But he's happy with it. And obviously he's unhappy. He's unhappy with it, the fighter side of it, because he's seen people work for years for it. But then he obviously is happy, because if Aaron Chalmers brings 100,000 people to watch it, 10,000 or 15,000 more people in attendance to watch it, that they're still going to watch him. So he's still gonna get noticed. He's still gonna get exposure and stuff like that. And like you said, it could take 500 of them people to take notice of that person, whether they're on the undercard, the main event, or anything like that. The people haven't actually gone to watch, and they say, "Oh, fucking hell, this guy's good," and then they find out who he is and stuff like that. And it's so much more exposure for everyone.
Yeah, well, like you say, mate, it is, like you say, but he's a promoter's wet dream. I keep saying that because it couldn't be described anymore. Imagine being a promoter and someone saying, "Oh, yeah, Aaron Chalmers," because you know what it's like when you're doing the local scenes and things. Well, he won't know what it's like, but they're like, "Oh, how many tickets can you sell?" And I'm not probably about 10 to 15,000. The guy's going to fall off his seat, you know what I mean? Like, he goes, like I say, and I can't compete with that, but I don't do it for the money. Like when he was bragging about, like, because he literally done the Mayweather McGregor thing. Like I say, he put his poster up, a picture up with his money, stacks of money. Great, mate. But all you're doing there is rubbing it in the faces of lads who don't make that money, lads who put the same graft in, right? If not harder graft, and don't get that money. You know what I mean? It's disrespectful to fighters, and that's one thing I don't normally do is disrespect fighters. But he's pissed me off telling the world he's going to put me to sleep.
See, from what the outside and the neutral perspective, from obviously what he posts on social media, like I said, I haven't spoke to him yet. I'm hopefully going to get to speak to him so I can try and find out, obviously, what he is actually like and stuff like that, to see if this is genuinely who he is. But I spoke to Dan Movahedi, the official, yesterday. And he was saying he covered an event where Aaron Chalmers was there. And alone himself, he sold 2,000 tickets a small Obama event. I think it was the last one. And the attendance was only 15,000. And we also touched on why people are in the sport. And obviously, for people like me, I do this podcast solely for the love of the game. If I can make some money out of it along the way, even better. But I genuinely just started it for the love of the game and the love of the sport. I mean, I used to train in MMA.
And that's admirable, mate. It's people like you, though, who get the little lads out there, you know what I mean? So fair play, mate. Credit where it's due.
I trained in MMA for 2 years, just under 2 years, and I couldn't carry on because of injuries. So watching it for 15, 16 years, what I have, obviously, I've watched it from the Ultimate Fighter 1 to now being sort of back involved and talking to guys like yourself and the other guys that I've spoke to. I mean, this is my 20th podcast, and I've done it less than 2 months. And I've had 7 amateur guys on it through an academy, the Cage Warriors Southeast Academy. And I've spoke to absolute legends like Jack Mason. I mean, and UFC fighter, Brad Scott, and people like yourself and Tom Means. It's
top
to me, like you said, when you said you're going to be in awe backstage, this is like, I'm like a kid in a sweet shop. So I can only imagine what you're going to be like when you get there and you, like you said, you're...
Don't get me wrong, I won't be licking Roy Nelson. You know what I mean? But I will.
Will that be hard for you to sort of contain that in a sense? Obviously, I know in a professional manner you'd be able to.
Oh, man, I've got no issue. I'm not going to contain it. I don't want to contain it. I want to go up there and shake his hand and say, mate, you were one of the people who got me in the game. Fuck, I'm not going there to contain it. I'm not eating for any image, mate. I'm myself, you know what I mean? I'm outspoken, fair enough. I probably swear a bit too much. I'll get the odd clip when this podcast goes out from your mother.
Well, if she's listening, then.
You know what I mean?
But yeah, she's happy to.
Like you say, I'm in this because I love to fight. Fighting saved me from getting into a lot of trouble when I was younger, you know what I mean? And it's whether it's been for nothing, whether I've lost, whether I've won. Just that thrill of the fight. And the shame is I lost that for a while, but I carried on fighting through it. And it took this fight for me to get it back, mate. And that fire's back, honestly. Like, you can see on my interviews, like, I get so vexed. That was never me. Normally, I was just so chilled. And I'll do me talking in there, you know what I mean? But now I want to have my say. I'll go out there. The best man on the night will win. At the end of the day, the best man on the night will win, whether it be by somewhat sloppy, whether it be by somewhat exceptional. The best man on the night will win and get his hand raised.
Even after the fight, win, lose or draw, the question, quite a lot of people, obviously, we've seen it on Twitter. You don't have to answer it if you don't want to. And other social media platforms is will you shake his hand afterwards? And obviously, because there's the respect.
Mate,
I'll
buy the man a drink. Well, because I'm saying I'll buy him a drink. It depends if he takes me 5 pairs off me, the big bully. You know what I mean? But, yeah, mate, I'll shake his hand after. Like I say, I'll have either derailed the hype train or I'll be on it. So, either way, let's see. Let's do it, you know what I mean?
I've got another question. Hang on a minute. I'm trying to see in the dark here. He hasn't been to the first round. I know you're probably sick of all this talk about your fight, but it's what people want to hear. It's what I want to hear. I'm excited for it. So
me too.
Passed the first round,
me too, trust me.
And obviously he's knocked out 2 and submitted 1. Do you think he'll struggle if he gets to the second or third round?
Yeah. No, I think he's in a good camp, mate. I think he's training with good people. He's got the best of the best around him. Because again, he can afford that training. So I think his fitness will be up there. He'll be in deep water because he won't have been there before. So dragging him to that, it'll be ideal. You know what I mean? But like you say, you wouldn't fight a shark in the water, but you'd fight it on the land. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so
He's never been
obviously
to the
from the
second or the
media side
third
of it,
round.
like my side of it, and seeing
So.
it, what other media guys have pushed and stuff like, we all want to see if he's what he's capable of. Like obviously, like you said, he's bragging this, that, and the other,
Yeah.
and we people want to see if he can, what he's like, if he is what he says he is. Obviously, he's saying he's the complete fighter. Obviously, you have to be, you have to have your own confidence. You have to be believe your own hype. Otherwise, there's no point being in the game. Yeah, it's not there in the head.
Of course, be confident, but don't be cocky and disrespectful. You know what I mean? Be confident, but don't be cocky and disrespectful. Something that doesn't need to be, and it's the problem with the game at the minute. The cocky, disrespectful fighters are the ones who are getting all the money, and that's not the way it should be. You know what I mean? It's I want to see what he can do. Like I said, I'm either going to go shit, he's better than I thought, but I've trained for the best, so you know what I mean. I'm either going to go, I've done what I said I was going to do, or
And you can only train
fair
for the
play, the
person in
man
front of you.
is an animal. Of course you can, mate, at the end of the day. But I just think that they've maybe overlooked me for the next fight. I think they're using me as a stopgap to get to somewhere else. And that's a big mistake.
See, with your experience
If
as
they've
well,
based me on my last couple
do
of
you think it
fights, then
was, and obviously not from like a bad sort of way, but like you said, you're not a stepping stone. Do you think, obviously, he's had three finishes. Do you think it was right to put you in there against him, or for a bigger card, someone with similar experience to what he's got?
listen, probably someone with a similar experience to what he's got, to be honest. But hey, like you say, I'm not gonna bite the hand that feeds me. You know what I mean? If they're gonna give me that shot and give me the opportunity, because this could open doors for me again. This could re-spark my career again. You know what I mean? Something that it's needed for a long time, to be honest. I've needed that kick up the ass, so I'll use this. Hopefully, I can use him as a stepping stone. You know what I mean? But at the end, my full focus is on this fight with him. Like you say, the best man will win on the night in 2 weeks' time. And looking at the time, it'll probably
So,
be about this
with
time.
all the hype obviously on social media and stuff like that, say you go in there, you derail the hype train and stuff like that. Like you said, he could be a stepping stone for you. Do you think this is gonna, like you said, a boost for your
Yeah.
career? It'll open so many more doors.
I hope
Do
so,
you
yeah.
think, well, where do you go from there, basically?
Miami, hopefully, or somewhere nice and hot like that. Hopefully, there'll be a big card calling my name somewhere. Probably for the next
So
person who
with
wants to
this,
smash
is
me as
this
a
just
stepping
a one
stone.
fight contract you've got, or have you signed a better con a more fight contract?
Well, like I said, the fight talks about the contract talks about a couple of fights, but I need to prove myself first. So. For now, I'm concentrating on this one fight. I'm giving this one fight my
Yeah,
all, and then
see.
we re-look at the drawing board and we go from there. But like I said, all I can do is go out there and give the best version of me. And I'm hoping I get the best version of him because I don't want no excuses if I beat him, when I beat him. I don't want to, oh, he only beat me because of this, or, oh, I shouldn't have overlooked him. I want him to have trained hard and I want him to be fit and well and strong. You know what I mean? Because I want to beat that version of Aaron Chalmers. I don't want to beat no other version where there's an excuse. I want to beat the best version for myself
And obviously, you want
and
to
for,
test yourself
well, just for
against the best
pride,
guys. And
really.
like you said, the best version of someone. So if you go in there knowing that someone's only at 70% fitness, or they're carrying a little niggling injury and stuff like that, not in a bad way, but you do, it kind of bring it down a little bit, shitty bit away, sort of where you didn't fight the best version. And obviously, then they can use that as an excuse or a reason of why they lost or why they weren't in the best thing. But for a personal side of it, you want to fight the best person. Obviously, you want to fight the top guys. And you want to fight them at their best to try and get the best,
Yeah, of course.
not only the best out of them, but you want to get the best out of yourself as well, to push your own limits.
Definitely, mate. Like I say, if you beat the best version and seek hill to stand on, haven't you? That big proud hill. You know what I mean? It's at the end of the day, I'm there to fight. I'm not there for nothing else. Like when I'm sorry when I say shite, I don't mean disrespected, but I don't normally get involved with the whole ass along the last couple. Maybe I needed that to give us a kick up the ass, you know what I mean? And the more angry I get, the harder I train. Like I say, and the harder I train, the easier the fight's gonna be.
Like you said, there's all this social media and stuff, and although it's hype, like it's give you an extra lease of life sort of thing. It's gave you like a second whim, like you'd get during a fight, you get hit, you get rocked, and then all of a sudden you get that fresh air hit and you're back in the game. So do you think all this hype and stuff like that and him pissing you off like he has is put a torch underneath your ass, basically?
I mean, it's elevated me to a completely new level in every aspect. Not even just in the fight game, just in myself and in my self belief. You know what I mean? I'm there to do it, mate. Let's do it. At the end of the day, you know what I mean? The talk's cheap, isn't it? Like he's again. Like we touched on it earlier. It seems like he's in this for the money. I'm not, mate. I'm in there because I love to fight. So when somebody's dragging us into a fight, that's great. Bend me nose a bit more. You know what I mean? Make us that little bit uglier. He'll do well because I'm already up there. But is he going to like all that? Is he going to like that annoying grind and elbows in the face? Can he live with that? When he hasn't got his managers telling him, oh, Aaron, you're unbelievable, mate. You're amazing. You know what I mean? He hasn't got no one in that cage blowing smoke up his ass. He's going to get a foot up his ass, but there'll be no smoke
like
going
I said,
up there.
I spoke to Dan, one of the officials, yesterday. He's actually on his way to Ireland in the morning. We touched on why people are in the game. And if you're not there solely for the love of the game, it's the wrong mindset to have. I mean, you've seen people go in there. I mean, I think the perfect example was like for all this hype, social media, promotions doing it. The perfect example for me was Ronda Rousey. Obviously, when her fight with Holly Holm come out, I said to my missus, I called it straight away. I said to her, I said, Holly Holm's going to knock her out. And my missus was like, nah, surely not. Because she'd only read what was on social media, what the UFC and stuff had said. Yeah. And obviously, when you look at people's backgrounds and stuff like that, I mean, Holly Holm was a kickboxing world champion, four-time kickboxing world champion in two different weights. Yeah. So she had the advantage straight off the bat because the fight starts standing. But when she actually knocked out Ronda Rousey, everyone was like, oh my God, this is like the biggest shock in UFC history. And I sort of sat there and I was like, well, not really. Like,
do your homework, and you know what you're talking about. It wasn't a shock.
What's going to happen? And then again, obviously, they put out so much media attention again when she had a 2-year layoff. I mean, yeah, you can get fight prepared, but you can't get fight ready. If that makes sense, you're not going to have people throwing elbows at you and kneeing you in the head at full force in the gym. The only way you can gain that experience is being in the cage. And it doesn't matter if you have a month off, 2 months off, 2 years off, or 10 years off. You are never going to gain that unless you actually get in there. So when it happened to her again, and the media and the UFC had blown up all this, that, and the other, I called it again. I said to my missus, Amanda Nunes is going to kill her. Because, like you said, obviously the side of it, Ronda Rousey got 500 grand to lose against Amanda Nunes.
Yeah, it's scary.
And Amanda Nunes only made 100.
It's scary. That's what I'm saying. So, and Ronda Rousey could have run about shouting, I'll double your wage because that's what it's about, but it's not. Amanda Nunes took that fight on the low wage.
And she had the belief in herself.
She wanted to fight Ronda Rousey. Yeah, exactly, mate. And that's what this is. This is what this is about, right? It's good. It's getting turned around on social media now. I've even stopped looking, to be honest, because it's getting turned around to being about money. And this isn't what it's for me. You know what I mean? I'm there because let's call this last chance saloon, right? Because this is what it is for me. I'm off a 3-fight losing streak. Granted, that fighter in there hasn't been me. I haven't trained. I haven't grafted. But I have this time. And this is the version of me. Make or break for my fighting career now, this fight. So in 2 weeks' time, I'm going in there, giving it everything I have. Whether I come out on the wrong end of it, I'm going out there and leaving everything that I have in
So
that
you're
game.
Going in there for the best version of you, to put on the best performance you can, to show what you're about, basically.
Precisely, mate. So, like I say, I hope some of the fans out there who are watching and listening, I hope some of them can get behind me because I'd love nothing more. Right? At the end of the day, I've served my apprenticeship. You know what I mean? I've put in the years of the graft. Yeah, I went off the rails a little bit lately, but trust me, this version is the best version of me, and it's a better version than what's been before, put it that way.
So, whichever way the fight goes, obviously the fans that are watching and the fans that Aaron brings in and stuff like that, the real fight fans, whether they like you or they don't, or whether they like him or they don't, afterwards, do you hope that the fans, sort of like a Rocky IV sort of thing, do you think it would be better, hopefully, that fans would be like, do you know what, this guy, he weren't such a fucking idiot that everyone else was saying, like...
Yeah, but I hope so, mate, because I've just finished recording my training montage there, running up snowy hills down the beach. But obviously, I had to take the snow to the beach. But it's, mate, like I said, hope so. It'd be nice for people to go, you know what, maybe I've wrote this kid off without not knowing anything. You know what, let's root for the underdog. Because I hear me odds and everything are going to be something like 7-2. Like, that's just buying money, yeah. That. Put your money on me, bro. I'm telling you. Pint after.
Yeah, but obviously, like I said, it could go either side. Obviously, people that don't like him, they could turn around and if you go to a 3-round war and it goes to the decision, they'll be like, all right, because I know a lot of the media guys will be, if it does go to the 3 rounds and it does go to the decision, they'll be like, do you know what? He's more of the MMA fighter than what we thought he was. He's not just the guy that's going to go in there and knock people out. He's been taken to the depths of the end of the round and he's fucking proved that he can get there. And the same for you. People are going to be like, come off 3 losing fights, all this, that, and this could be the fourth. And then it goes to a decision. And obviously, so much hype around Aaron. You take him to the 3rd round, people are going to be like, fucking hell, this guy's no joke. Maybe this is what he needed. So like you said, even if it does go there, it's going to open more doors for you. Even if you get to a 3rd round decision and end up losing, you've taken the hype train to a 3 rounds, whereas 3 other guys couldn't.
Yeah, definitely.
So even promoters watching, because other organizations are going to be watching this card. People are going to be stupid if they miss this. This is the biggest fight card of the year, everywhere.
Yeah, this is one of the biggest, not just one of the biggest fight cards of the year, mate. Like, this card is stupidly stacked. You know what I mean? Ours has the hype. Our fight has the hype. But when it comes to matchmaking, the other fights on the card are ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like I said, ours has the hype behind it. And I like to think on my game, mate, I'm good. I'm very good. But anyone around that's remotely interested in any form of MMA needs to watch this full card from top to bottom, not just our fight. You know what I mean? These fans are always brought in. Great for the sport. Great for the game. Bring money into MMA. Get more lads paid more. But don't disrespect the other fighters who have gave Aaron a platform to fight on. The lads who have put their years and years in fighting in. So the likes of Bellator can thrive so much for Aaron to be able to go in there and make his money on. You know what I mean? Don't disrespect the lads.
Obviously,
there is
a lot of mutual respect between the fighters, whether it be during, before, and even after the fight. Obviously, with like I said, the handshake. Quite a lot of the fighters have a beer with each other afterwards and stuff like that. Do you think that's what him and his management team are sort of doing wrong? Like you said, they're not so much, like, obviously, it's disrespectful towards you, but because he's bragging about the wrong things. Do you think that's where they've gone wrong? I know they're trying to hype the fight up and get more fans watching and all that shit. But do you think that his management team are doing it wrong in a sense where they should be like, look, it's all well and good saying about the rest of the division that you're not fighting, but the guys you're fighting have a little bit more respect for?
Yeah, I agree, mate. I do agree. Like I said, I went off. Don't get me wrong, I went off on him, you know what I mean? And I did because I've seen so much shit get said about myself. You know, I even seen a tweet somewhere, right, where people were fucking griefing me family and that, and I thought, who the fuck's this bloke to grief? What does he know about anything, you know what I mean? And I thought, that shit just takes it too far.
What?
Like, we're having this back and forward now, right? We'll square off on the weigh-in day, right? And I look into his eyes then, and he look into my eyes then, and that's when you tell a lot about the fighter. On that weigh-in, when we look at each other, right? When we're face-to-face there, that's what will tell, do all the talking. That's when I look at him and I'll see whether he's ready, whether he wants this. And I'll shake his hand after we've weighed in, because making weight's no easy feat. So I'll shake his hand, you know what I mean, if he wants to shake hands. and then come fight night, we'll go to war. I'll shake his hand again after, win or lose.
And like I said, like no disrespect to obviously Aaron, because he can only fight the people that are put in front of him, but that's his management's decision, basically. I forgot what I was going to say.
It seems like he's got, it seems like he's a puppet. Let's call it that. Right? It seems like he's a puppet from his management, and he says very cleverly worded things that, let's be honest, the kid's an idiot. He couldn't string a sentence together half the time. So he hasn't said some of this stuff. Right? You know what I mean? And he seems like his management are talking for him, right? Some people love him. Some people hate him. The ones who love him obviously love him for a reason. Be himself. He's got into MMA. He's making his money. He's a young lad. He's making his fortunes. You know what I mean? He's having a good life.
Yes.
Why? Be yourself. You know what I mean? Enjoy it. Take people along the way with you. You know what I mean? There's no need to be disrespectful with it.
No slagging.
That's easy saying for me. I'm like a double-edged sword. In one sense, I'm griefing him. The next one, I'm saying, don't be disrespectful. But again, I'm only doing all this because I've been pushed.
So, not slagging him or his management team off, because obviously his management team are really good in making him money. But
of course. Do you reckon they'll manage me and get me some money? I made a joke about it. I bet my life savings on him. Well, he doesn't know my life savings is about £3.50 and two buttons. You know
well,
what I mean?
His manager's email address if you want it. But yeah.
I'm good with my managers, mate. My guy's looking after me, trust me. My boys in the gym. My team behind me for this fight. I'm training with some killers as well. Difference is my killers aren't all over the internet. Talk about like other killers.
What I was trying to get to is, I hope it, for his sake, not obviously bad-mouthing his management team, because it might have been the management team that he's been with through, obviously, like his reality TV and stuff like that. And he might be loyal to him. It might be one of his best friends. But I think if it is that same guy from the reality TV side of it, yeah, his manager might be good at that side of it, but he might not know fuck all about the fight game. I hope for his sake that he's got someone.
Yeah. Well, say that. They've got Bellator in his first four fights, so he knows something.
That could just be the name. I mean,
yeah, well,
if,
that is what
I hope
it is, let's be honest.
For Aaron's sake, that he does sort of switch on, so to speak. I'm not trying to be an arsehole here, but I'm just trying to be honest. So people want. Yeah, I hope he switches on and thinks, do you know what, if it's next few fights, he wins the next few fights and he decides to get an MMA manager, whether it be someone from the gym, the head coach, or fuck me, even his nutritionist, he's surely got to know a bit more about the game than a reality TV star manager.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't even know if the reality TV stars are the ones or his management, or if he has got the likes, because I know he's training with Kane and the Edwards and that. So maybe he's got the management that they've got, you know what I mean? Who knows? Like I said, I don't know. I just think he needs to be himself a little bit more and just be a bit careful. And maybe when all of his fans are calling people, maybe just be a bit humble and just, if you look at some of my fights, whether I've won or lost, but mainly with the ones where I've lost, right? At the end of it, when my fans are booing them, you'll always see me hold the lad's hand up and tell my fans to stop booing. Always. You know what I mean? I'm not disrespectful that way. It's, you know, I just think maybe a bit of humble pie.
Yeah, that's what I meant
with
sort of like his management team, because obviously your head coach or your manager is not going to turn around and say that, you know what, just get on Twitter and slag the shit out of him, call him all this, call him all that. They're going to tell you that obviously mixed martial arts is respect. It's a form of self-discipline, all mixed martial arts.
Martial arts are more disrespect on respect.
And it just doesn't seem to, like anyone's telling them that that's the case, so to speak. Not saying it's a bad thing, because obviously it's making
because
him a lot of money. It's making him a lot of money.
That's the thing. That's all that's wrong with the game at the door. It's turning into the WWE sometimes, isn't it? And you've got people flinging fucking chairs through
well,
windows
yeah, I was
and
speaking
things.
To
you know
someone on Twitter earlier about it, obviously with this stuff that Leslie Smith's doing. And I was saying, like, he put up a post saying about Yair Rodriguez, who's now been cut from the UFC. Obviously, from turning two fights down. And he put a post up saying, yeah, this trolley throwing Irishman who lands one punch can throw a trolley through a window and still get a contract. And my reply was, but this trolley throwing Irishman shits million dollar bills. But hopefully, with what Leslie Smith and the organization Project Spearhead are doing. It's not just going to change the wages for the fighters, which is obviously people have got mouths to feed, they've got training partners to pay, they've got kids to feed, they need to make a living. But it's not just going to change the wages for people, it's going to change their attitudes of people as well. Because Yair Rodriguez now could go and sign that union thing and join her as a fighter, and then people are going to think, do you know what, fucking hell, if this is going to happen. And obviously, you've seen that, you might not have seen it, Mackenzie Dern missed weight today for the third time.
Yeah, she missed weight. It's the third time.
That's half of her pro career, and she missed it by 7 pounds. I mean, for me, you're a professional athlete on any scale. It doesn't matter if you're a fucking gymnast, a swimmer, cyclist, a fighter. You're a professional athlete. Your job is to make weight. Yet, she's not being cut. She's still being allowed to go forward and fight. And yet, Yair Rodriguez has turned down two fights and everything like that. And then, obviously, Leslie Smith, her fight got cancelled. So her fight contract was for a fight. And she hasn't even been given the chance. So hopefully it changes the mentality of these guys, and everyone stops trying to be a Conor McGregor and everything else. And I mean, even Tyron Woodley's jumping on it, and he looks like a bit of an idiot, to be fair.
Yeah, well, that's, to me, mate, that's all they do. People buy into it, but the people who buy into it aren't there for the love of MMA. They're there for the sort of kids who go for cheeky Nando's with their backwards cap on. You know what I mean? They're them sort of kids, aren't they, who are buying into it. And they're drawing in loads and loads of interest. But these aren't the fans that are going to stick around. They're there for the gimmick. You know what I mean? Martial arts isn't a gimmick. People have dedicated their fucking lives to this game. You know what I mean? Me, I have. Honestly, I'm 28 years old and I've been fighting since I've been about 11. Like, that's a lot of years, that. You know what I mean? And like I say, if it's gone tits up recently, I'll not lie to you. I lost the love. Maybe I done too much. People are like, have a platform to be a gimmick on if it wasn't for these lads who laid the foundations. I'm not saying I laid the foundations of MMA, but I'm talking on a bigger scale. The likes of McGregor and that grief and people, you know what I mean? There's no need for it. Like, if these guys refused to fight McGregor, I wouldn't
he's
make
had
money
this gimmick,
if nobody was fighting, you know what I mean?
See, I'm a McGregor fan, fighting-wise, and I love, to a certain point, how cocky he is and stuff like that. But when it turns to arrogance and just disrespect, I've grown up watching the sport with, like, your Tito Ortiz and Ken Shamrock. Like, that was a genuine hatred. Like, they couldn't stand each other. So I think McGregor's now sort of watched back for the Ultimate Fighter 3, I think it was, that they were on. And thought, you know what?
It's my favourite ever fighter.
Fucking good gig. I might try this. But then, obviously, he had that hype when he was in Cage Warriors. So he hasn't changed as a person, apart from he's just doing it more. But then, obviously, he's made so much money from it. I mean, he hasn't fought in 500 days, I've seen it. Today is 500 days that he hasn't fought. But he's not caring because he's sat at home with 120 million in the bank and is fingering four more pies that are making him millions each year. Hello?
That's it, isn't it? He knows he can go and group.
Yeah. Yeah. Hello? Did you hear what I said?
Oh, I thought it went a bit crackly there. I wasn't sure if I'd lost you.
Yeah, he's sat
yeah,
home.
Yeah, but,
so,
but about the millions in the bank. And not having to worry.
Like you
yeah,
said, quite a lot are doing it for the gimmick. He's sitting at home with 120 million in the bank and his finger in four pies. So that are going to make him millions and millions of dollars or pounds or euros or whatever he is a year. So he doesn't have to come back to the fight game. So I think his mentality for what the game is about, from what it was when he was at Cage Warriors, to what it is now. And I think everyone else is just trying to emulate that instead of fighting for what they're fighting for.
Yeah. Enjoying the fight. They're thinking, oh, I can just get in here for a couple of years and make a fortune. Nah, man.
Hello? Yeah, sorry about that. Lost connection somehow.
Yeah, well, what did you hear there? I was on a rant there as well.
Oh, sorry, carry on.
I don't know what I was going to do.
But yeah, I was saying that McGregor's obviously got four fingers in pies that are making him millions, so he doesn't have to fight. So the mentality of his, from where he was at Cage Warriors to, he sort of had that fire that he wanted to be the best and prove to the world that he was going to be the best. And then now he's sort of, oh, there's a couple of million dollars in the bank. Like, fuck it, I don't have to do this anymore.
Yeah. That's it. Like, it's doing it for the wrong reasons. I love to fight at the end of the day. Win, lose, or draw, mate, I love to fight. So, but now I've got that kick up the ass now where I'm done with the losing. You know what I mean? If I go out in 2 weeks' time and I get beat, I won't have gave up. And that to me is everything. That'll tell me everything about myself. I won't be giving up. The last couple I've gave up. I haven't been paid off to give up or anything along those lines. I've gave up because I haven't had that mental place right. But I'm there now. You know what I mean? So if I get beat in 2 weeks' time, he'll have had to earn it. I promise you that. He'll have had to earn the win. Because I'm going out there to earn my win and my shot at everything and my moving forward.
So, yeah, say 2 weeks' time you go out and you get the win. What's next for you? What's the end goal for 2018?
Who knows, mate? Who knows? Only time will tell. I just hope I get shown the same respect as what he's getting. That's what I hope. If I go out there and earn it in 2 weeks' time, I hope I'm shown the same respect. So I hope I'm getting these fights at ease. This baby slice fight would be nice. I've seen talks of CM Punk. Like, little fight like that would be nice. You know, I've got an even record. You know what I mean? You don't have to pay me millions of pounds to fight these guys. It's not why I'm in it. I'll go out there and fight them happily. You know what I mean? It's not for the payday. Because if I beat this kid, I want to derail the next hype train. And then the next hype train. People who haven't earned it. I haven't earned it, but I'm happy to go out there and end it now. You know what I mean? I want to be out ending it now.
Yeah, so we look forward to it. So, yeah. It's a massive card.
Who's your pick for the main event? Cool story, bro.
I see you with me.
Nelson.
Yeah, I'm
expecting a walk-off knockout.
I've seen the video before, but I've seen it again the other day on Facebook. I can't remember. I think Joe Rogan or someone had shared it, where it says muscle mass doesn't count in a fight. And it was just a clip of all Roy Nelson's fights and all his opponents and stuff. And obviously, he fought Stefan Struve, who's 7 foot, and he fought Brendan Schaub, and who's a big guy and a muscly guy at the time. And he got a walk-off knockout with them, and it was just knockout after knockout after knockout. And I just thought, this is why I love this guy.
Yeah, that's the thing, mate. It's a fight game. So he's talking about putting all of our wages on this fight. It's the fight game, mate. Anything can happen. Somebody could be absolutely dominating a fight and then boom, punch, gone. See ya. You know what I mean? That's the beauty. That's why we love it, mate. We're fighting in 4 ounce gloves. You know what I mean? It's unbelievable. We're actually getting paid to fight in 4 ounce gloves.
Yeah, it's... Especially with all this hype as well.
Love about that. You
know
what I mean?
It's like the person you get paid to kick someone's face in.
Yeah, right, are we? Right? Me and him get, after all this talk, it's not like we're just talking some troll on the internet. Me and him get to put this talk to bed. You know what I mean? Great. Let's do it, mate. I'll meet you in the middle of that cage in 2 weeks' time.
Sort of pissed me off. That these other MMA websites and stuff don't have much to write about, because they put the two openly gay fighters in Amanda Nunes and Raquel Pennington are going to fight for the first time in UFC history. And I thought, they're not going in there for a fucking candlelit dinner. Like, they're going in there to kick the shit out of each other. Like, it'd be different if it was Dale Winton and Rob Juan going in there. But it's not. They're getting paid to beat each other up.
I'm glad you touched on this, actually. Like,
yeah,
I made a comment on one of my interviews earlier, and it was along the lines of, as I think I said somewhat along the lines of, look, most of these armchair fans aren't there for the fight, and they're just there to see people's abs, because half of them are closet gays anyway. Let me just get out there now, right? I've got nothing against anyone who's gay, bisexual, anything. His camp tried to turn that round and put that on me, to put me in a bad spotlight. I've got nothing against that. That's purely banter. So if anyone's took... Because that was never my intention. I have nothing...
Yeah, see, like what you said, obviously, you've had banter and stuff like that. But this was actually, like, an actual MMA website that had put this out. And I thought, what? It doesn't... Like, I went on a real rant when I seen it, and my missus was like, the hell? What have you just read? I sat in the chair. I was like, oh, fuck this, shit this, white twats this. She was like, what? I was like, why has this got anything to do with sport?
Yeah.
I said, they're not going on a date. Like, they're paid athletes. They're paid fighters. That should be the only thing that they're talking about. Like you said, whether they're gay, they're bisexual.
Like the people,
it doesn't even matter if they're transgender, if their birth certificate or whatever they've got now turns around and says that they're a female. They're a female or they're a male. Like, they're not going in there to... You don't go in there to make friends. It's not a sport where you make friends in there. You're paid to kick the shit out of each other.
Of course. I want the bloodiest, goriest fights. The wars. Wanderlei Silva, the likes of watching him fight, you know he's there to knock out or be knocked out, and it's a war. You know what I mean? And I love watching fights like that. That's what it should be about. Those should be the people who are getting hyped up. Not the ones who can talk a good game and insult each other's family and insult each other's friends or each other. You know what I mean? That's not what it's about. Like I say, I'll hold my hands up. I've openly got involved in it there. You know what I mean? But listen, let's just fight now. I wish it was tonight. I wish I was stepping in that cage in half an hour. You know what I mean? I really do, because I'm just looking forward to the fight.
So it's good to know that you're focused and you're on point and you're ready for it.
Yeah. Honestly, mate, I genuinely am. Like, I'm my own worst enemy. I've beat me in my last few. If that's the case, I'm my best mate now, trust me.
Good stuff. Right, I'm going to let you go and enjoy the rest of your night and let you calm down. Try to stay off social media.
Yeah, of course, man. Can I just...
I was just about to say, if you've got anyone you want to shout out, sponsors, teammates, fire away.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah.
Yep. Hey, mate.
Yeah, I can. Yeah. Yeah. If you've got any sponsors or anything like that you want to shout out, teammates or anything, fire away. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hey, sorry about that. I don't know what happened. It might be because I'm sat outside. But yeah, carry on, say what you're going to say, and then we'll shout out sponsors and stuff. And
I can hear you. I'm saying, can I give you some of my sponsors? Because without them lads, I couldn't afford to train.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. If you've got any sponsors, teammates, or anything you want to shout out, fire away.
Yeah, well, like I said, I want to give a massive shout out to everyone I train with at Local Roughhouse. The likes of Anthorpe, Josh Abraham, who's a killer, by the way, as well. All these guys have pushed me to the limit here for this. They've pushed me to break through the mental barrier and the physical barrier. But more so the guys who have sponsored me and gave me money to help me train, to do, because I travel a couple hours a day to and from training. You know what I mean? So to be able to do that's great. So look, like,
you keep breaking up.
I'll just give you the list and I'm sure you can work your magic with it.
Yeah.
It's Hartley Power, CIC. We've got Apostle Tattoos, Diamond Tattoo Supplies, Hindles Automotives, Protein Superstore, Predictable, and the Millhouse Pub. All these guys, like I say, they helped me out with money to get to and from training. One of the lads even sorted me out a car, so I could actually drive to and from training. So massive respect there.
Good stuff. Again, thank you for your time. I look forward to watching it. I'm even more pumped for it now.
You want? I can't hear you breaking up, buddy.
I said, thank you for your time. I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah, no worries, mate. Thank you for having me on. Thanks for letting me get my side across.
I know a lot of guys are. Yes. I literally, like I said, I went out on a whim. So I had to reschedule with you a couple of times when I messaged you. I was actually on my way to go and do the school run. So it was a bit of, like when you messaged me back and said, yeah, and then obviously just straight away messaged me phone. I was like, oh shit, like I'm out. But yeah.
Nah, mate, like you say, we've all got life on the side, mate. We're in this game because we love it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's we have to put our family in that first, mate, so it works. But hopefully we can talk in 2 weeks' time, 2.5 weeks' time, when we can celebrate a win, talk about where we're going next.
Definitely, we'll catch up after the fight.
Perfect, buddy. Listen, have a good night.
Andrew, I just want to give a quick shout out to CBD Life UK. From now on,
have a good night,
supporting me. Yeah, I just want to give a shout out to CBD Life UK for jumping on and support with my podcast. Really appreciate it. Go and check them out. Lots of fighters use their products. Lots of normal people use their products. Great for muscle, relaxants, stuff like that. Battered, tired. Go check them out. If you use promo code MONSTARS15, you get 15% off your first order. And also go check out Ultimate Fighting Outlet. Another set of guys that I've got on to support my podcast. Really appreciate it. Great stuff. They do everything from fight tape to wraps to gloves to gum shoes to shorts to pads. You name it. Go check them out. And if you do check them out, use promo code MONSTARSMMA to get 10% off your discount.